Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody.
Hello everyone.
Ooh. My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched The Curse of La Llorona.
Yeah, La Llorona.
Llorona.
I think.
La Llorona. Sorry.
Father, can you help us?
The church works with people who specialize in situations like this.
Get to La Llorona.
Is she coming?
She's already here.
What do we do?
La 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 Llorona.
It's dumb. It's real dumb.
Yep, that's pretty stupid.
Tom, what did you think of this?
I thought this movie was boring.
Yeah, I thought
this movie
was
very boring,
and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, like for a horror movie, this movie is very boring.
Yeah, I predict this is one of those episodes where we're going to be like, oh, geez, what else do we have to say?
Yeah, we're going to hit like the 28-minute mark and be like,
Yeah, because this, so let's take our time. Let's really savor.
Let's really unpack
this. Let's pace ourselves because
this is
so
forgettable. Yeah, for sure. Like that, as I was driving home, I was like, this is a movie nobody's going to be thinking about in 6 months.
Yes.
It's an installment in the Conjuring universe.
Yes, it's part of the Conjuring Cinematic Universe, a thing we don't need.
Yeah, but they're just sort of doing it.
Yeah, I mean, here's... Okay.
It's one of the most low-key cinematic universes ever. They're just kind of doing it.
I think that's like, why we're accepting it, is because they're not really, like, sacrificing story to do it, and they also... Who gives a shit? I'll say this for the movie. I don't want to come off like a horror snob. Yeah, like you said, I was pretty bored. The audience I was with, who probably don't obsessively watch a lot of horror movies, they seem pretty entertained by it up until the end.
But right, the ending is like 25 minutes of just slow. No more scares.
It does the thing that Winchester did, where it just starts becoming a CGI spectacle, and I was like, well, nobody finds this scary. Like, this lady is... Yeah.
I'll say this movie has a decent premise.
Yes.
Like the cold open was kind of chilling.
Yeah, it was well done. I saw it in the AMC Dolby Theater, so the sound was very good in the theater.
The sound is real good,
in.
Yeah. This is not a badly directed movie. It's just boring.
Yeah, it's just... The premise is good, except it's also kind of a boring premise where I was watching like, oh no, a lady in a veil. Like there's a way to do that. Like I really like The Woman in Black because this is one of those cases where you're watching it and my biggest criticism, and this is a lot of horror movies, which is what is the ghost trying to achieve here? Because it sure seems like she's just jumping out on them.
Right. Like, there's like 18 moments. Same thing as, was it The Nun?
The
that
Nun
we were watching?
Sure.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. It was Slender Man, where there's like there's several parts where, like, that should be it for the character.
Yeah, where it's like, just
and
get
it just it just inexplicably isn't. Like, the ghost just stops for no reason. It's like, no, you got him. Like, what? Why are you stopping?
So, like, especially the ghost when it's like seems they want to, your kids, you know?
Right? Like, just take them. Like the first main thing that I notice about this movie is that it should be from the kid's point of view because she's a ghost that goes after kids.
Right.
This should be from the kid's point of view.
Yeah.
It's weird that it's not.
Yeah, it's hard because the kids were such dummies. This is another. That's the other thing.
Right,
about
but I mean,
if you
make it from the kids' point of view, you could like flesh it, make it like it, like flesh it out.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like it should have been from the kids' point of view. It really should have been. It's like so obvious.
Yeah, a lot of the drama and the conflict came from the characters being dumb,
meaning
they either did not communicate with each other until like way late. Or they would just, like, do dumb things. They would go off on their own and, like, obviously... Like, it's a lot of the movie making excuses for getting the characters alone or in scary. Like, I mean, the way the plot goes is it's a caseworker and she's handling two kids who the mom, who is
Marta.
Oh yeah, I was thinking Arrested Development. But
she's both.
Yeah,
she's second Marta and Anuxinamoon.
Yeah,
from the Mummy.
And she's locked her kids in a closet, and the caseworker. I liked how they did this because it gave the character an excuse to just do this, where the caseworker is like, "What's in the closet?" And she's like, "You can't open it," and she's there to look for kids. So she's like,
"Yeah, well, she has I'm to gonna, open it.
Yeah, yeah, I have to open this." Uh-huh. And the kids are in there, and they're like, "Don't let her hurt us." And they don't specify, so they just assume it's the mother. And that all worked. And then the kids are murdered, which was pretty cool. Kill some kids.
Yeah, pretty metal. Anytime a horror movie can actually nut up and kill some kids.
I know, right?
I'm on board.
But where I was getting to, I had to go a long way to get there. But then the caseworker, when the kids are found in a lake, the police call the caseworker to go there. Why do they do that?
I don't know. They wouldn't.
Yeah, they wouldn't. I thought at first, like, oh, she has to identify their bodies. They don't do that. They keep them under this blanket, and they're like, yeah, there they are.
The mom is there.
Yeah, and the mom is there. So they do it for literally no reason but to have... She has to bring her kids because her husband has died. And so that was okay. It's like, yeah, you're working.
Yeah, she can't leave him at home alone.
But like the initial reason they bring her out there,
right?
No,
like I understood why she brought them there, and it's one of the better sequences in the film with the kid in the car, even though they spoiled it in the first trailer.
Yeah, but there's no reason for the scene to happen.
There's no reason for her to be there. Is the problem. Yeah,
right away it was one of those signals from a horror movie, like, oh, okay, it's gonna be one of those. And when she'd get up in the middle of the night and finds the kid like slamming the door over and over again. Yeah. It was one of those things where it's like, you're in your home. You can turn on your lights. Like, you don't need to walk around your house in the dark. No one does that.
Yeah, this movie is a lot of creeping around corners.
Yeah.
And as I was watching the movie, I had that thought. I was like, man, this movie is a lot of just like kind of walking around corners. And then I thought even further. I was like, are most horror movies this way? And right. I don't think they are.
No, it's in terms of scares, it's as cheap as scares get. It's as Spook House as scares get.
Well, she's not even... The main problem is that, to me, that they don't do anything really with the theme of the film.
Right.
Which is... like they set it up like they're going to. Like, the theme, quote-unquote, of the film is, like, motherhood. Because the ghost is a woman who drowned her children.
Yeah.
The main character, Linda Cardellini from Freaks and Geeks... is a single mom who's a caseworker working with CPS, and then at the beginning of the movie is her removing two other kids from another mother from the home, and the movie's about motherhood, but it doesn't do anything with it.
You're right, because they then, and I knew they were going to do this because of course they were going to do this, is when her kids are getting tormented by the ghost. Child Protective Services comes to her house, and so the tables are turned, and that doesn't go anywhere. Yeah, it doesn't go.
Neither
place.
Neither one of those characters. Like she has a kind of boyfriend named Coop, who works with her. I think he's a police detective.
This is
and then she has like a rival caseworker. So they set it up like, oh, this could be like an interesting angle for this movie to go in. Like maybe the ghost will bleed off into these characters, but you just sort of, you never see those characters again after the halfway point.
Right. And this is I actually think is one of the biggest problems with a cinematic universe of horror. Mm-hmm. And I think it's bled into this film because it definitely the stuff with the Warrens, has this problem, which is that much like watching a Marvel movie, you know, the characters aren't going to die because they've said right at the top, like, we plan to make many more. With Marvel, that's fine because it's a superhero movie. With a horror movie, like, you take that away, and suddenly I'm not scared for anybody. And a lot of this Conjuring universe stuff, everything works out for them. Like, they're all kind of happy-ish endings.
Yeah, like, I noticed. I haven't seen the Conjuring 2 or the Annabelle films, but I've seen the Insidious movies, and I've seen the first Conjuring, and like nobody dies.
Yeah. And also, like, it's really, it's always, like, beating the ghost is a very practical thing. Like, it becomes an action sequence in a lot of these.
Yeah, she stabs the ghost in the heart with a crucifix. Yeah.
And it's just like, that was like Winchester, where it was like, oh, they just shoot the ghost.
They just shot the ghost.
The weakness was bullets.
The ghost who hates guns.
Yeah.
His weakness is bullets. Yeah. Really?
And so it
fucking
it takes,
what?
It's like it demystifies it in this way that takes away all the teeth of any message. Like, you don't walk out of these movies feeling chilled. You don't feel like... It's not a haunting feeling. It's not a staying feeling. It's just a, oh, that movie made me jump a bunch. Anyway, yeah. I'm going to go on with my life. And that's fine, but it's very much, I guess, pop horror. It's very much Spook House, where they're like, we're going to scare you, but we're not going to like leave you with like any feelings of dread. We're going to make everything fine.
This one was even less. Like, I remember... before we recorded, Dave saw this a day earlier than I did, and I asked him to compare it to The Nun, and he said it was better. I'm not sure that it is better than The Nun.
I think on principle it's not better. I think technically speaking it's better.
Technically it's better than The Nun.
For example, The Nun
was scarier.
Yeah, I guess, but The Nun, I guess the plot was more nonsense. Like, The Nun was more me being like, I don't know what the fuck is happening. I don't know why.
Right.
When they have the three graveyard sequence where they keep going out
into
the graveyard.
That's psychotic. But at least they had the sense to make their monster look scary.
Right.
Like, the ghost, La Llorona, doesn't really look that scary.
She looks fake. I'm pretty sure she was CG. Like, they used a person made her face
just,
all CG.
I mean, she's like a recognizable actress. Like, she's on TV. I've seen this woman.
Right.
She's just like a recognizable actress wearing corpse paint.
Right. The moment they do something at the end that was the most creative thing they did.
The only good part, yeah.
Yeah, is when he presents his necklace to her and she stops being evil. And then, like, for some reason, she sees her reflection that makes her evil again, which is like, whatever, fine. That was the only time where I was like, oh, maybe this will go somewhere. Interesting.
Yeah, they could have done something with that.
Yeah.
Because the ghost is sort of sympathetic. Like, I mean, she murdered her children, but, like, she kind of...
Yeah.
She was sorry about it and then killed her. Like, she's a tragic character.
I want to talk about that real quick because they tell the story and they say... She drowned her kids, and when they show her drowning her kids, she's in like a, it's like, a, imagine a Robin Hood Men in Tights river.
It's
like
a very
stream.
Small river, yeah.
She has to hold her kids to drown them, because it's such a small river, and then they show her like holding them and crying, and the voiceover is like, and she was so consumed with guilt that she threw herself in the river as well. And my question was, how? Like... It's a very small river.
It is the shallowest creek, and then it's like, and then she drowned herself in the same waters. I'm like,
yeah,
she would have just have to like, that's like drowning yourself in a toilet. Like, she would have just had to kneel there with her
head
under.
She had to lie face down. That made me laugh.
That was some dedication.
Yeah, I wanted to see that. As bleak as that scene is, I wanted to see how awkward that would have been. I feel like it was one of those things where like. They had like second unit film it or something, or like they already did the voiceovers and they're like, this is the creek. Okay. I guess we're going to use this.
So this is the creek, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure. Like, fuck it.
Couldn't find like, especially the way, like he says, she threw herself in the same waters. I'm like, this is like a trickle.
Yeah.
Like they clearly hadn't scouted the location yet when they wrote this dialogue. Like this was supposed to be a river and this is a creek.
Right. Shit, I forgot what we were talking about before. We were talking about the creek. It feels like it doesn't matter.
I don't think it matters.
Ugh, this fucking movie. This movie doesn't matter.
It super doesn't. Like,
it's, God. It's just aggressively forgettable.
It's very dull.
Yeah, I was like
even,
here's...
Even the jump scares aren't scary to me because the ghost herself isn't scary looking.
Well, it also, and again, like, all the characters were so dumb. Like, the little girl out in like, a thunderstorm by the pool. Also, yeah, okay, this kind of summed it up for me. This place takes place in Los Angeles.
Sure does.
And it's dark and stormy the whole time.
Yeah.
And it was like no.
What fucking year? It was like 1976, I think. I'm like, this has never been a season in Los Angeles.
It was all like that. It was one of those horror movies where like the kid goes out in the hospital and it's like flickering green lights. And it's that, like, you, I'm sure people can picture exactly what I'm describing, where it's like, oh, yeah, the lights are flickering, so the ghost is like getting closer, or like things are moving. And it's like, this is so fucking cheap. And it's that thing of like, it's effective on a technical scale, where it's like, yeah, again, I was watching this in the Dolby Theater. If it makes a loud noise and something happens, my body will jolt. And I'll be like, you know? So a lot of the times I found myself during the scary scenes, like, literally just, like, closing my eyes for a while. And not out of fear, but I'm going to lay my head back and close my eyes until this fucking sequence is over.
Yeah.
Because, like, at least I was doing that near the end, because it was like, okay, I know what your whole bit is.
This is, it's a paint-by-numbers horror movie.
Yeah. It's like they hide under a blanket or hide under a table, and then, like, you can see the thing behind them. Or the tablecloth starts pulling up. And then it's the slow looking up, or the slow looking around to see the thing. It was just... Or, like, the mirror shot, you know, the door and the mirror. It was all jump scares, and it was all jump scares we've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, it's, I don't know.
It's this movie is depressing to me.
There was I will say
it's I think the reason it's most depressing to me is that it's competently made.
Right. I mean, they got a nice little, I think it's a fake Warner, but it's a nice little Warner at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's
there's a couple of Warners in the movie.
Yeah.
And I think it's an homage to The Conjuring that has that Warner when the family first moves into the house.
Right. Also, Warners are one of those things where I think we started praising them too much, because they're not, I don't think they're that hard, especially when it's just like around a house, or like, they're cool.
Well, I appreciate like, it's not even just that this movie has a couple of Warners in it. This movie doesn't cut a lot. Which is necessary for a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, stay with the character and keep the momentum going. You don't cut around, because then it breaks the tension. So, like, this movie is competently made. It's just so fucking dull and forgettable.
There was a good movie hiding within it, and that was the moment they see the priest. They meet the holy man, and he's, like, kind of funny.
Oh, Raymond Cruz.
Yeah, and he uses them as bait, and he's like serious, but like kind of an asshole.
Yeah,
and like I would have liked the whole movie being that. They also had, again, hints at the monster could have been good. They had. Did you notice the Evil Dead shot in the movie?
No.
When
it rushes up to the door.
Yeah, that was like
such
an Evil Dead shot while she's slamming it, and the idea of like the fast. Creepy, like if they made her more like an Evil Dead zombie type of ghost, that was like running around and kind of maybe made it kind of crazier. I don't know. I think there was something there. Like, I think when the dynamic between her and the holy man and the kids and like sitting there fighting a monster, like, I could see it being actually a more campy, fun movie, but it wasn't that.
Yeah. It could have gone in either direction. Like, there's a couple of good movies hiding in this movie.
Yeah.
Because you have a concept that's creepy, if done correctly. A director that's clearly competent in the horror cinematic language. And then, like you're saying, these elements in the last third of the movie that are like, oh, this could be like an Evil Dead movie. Like, this could be campy. Yeah. And they just didn't do any of them.
No, it's a lot of just the characters being dumb. At that girl with her doll, that was another thing. Like, she was doing that.
Fucking kidding me! It's the scene in Dreamcatcher where Jason Lee gets his face eaten because he's trying to grab a toothpick while he's sitting on the toilet. It's like, what are you doing? Like, nobody does this.
I'm choking.
Dave's dying. All right. Dave's dying.
Sorry, everybody.
Stop dying, Dave.
Yeah, it was one of those things in the theater. People were like, oh no, oh god. And I wanted to be like, guys, don't let the movie manipulate you. Like,
no, this is
like,
dumb. This is an alien thing that she's doing. Nobody does this.
And that's, I mean, again, I wasn't mad at the audience because it was like, oh, if you're enjoying this fucking, you know, I was with, there was a lot of people like on a date and stuff.
Yeah, and it's there, not.
It's like yeah, if you're going to, like, you're going out and having fun, you paid $20.
For sure, for sure. That's, and then, like I said, that's the thing.
It's more the, like, you deserve better than this.
Yeah, even, that's the thing that bums, like I said, that's the thing that bums me out the most about this movie is that it's not badly made. Like, there's clearly talent behind this movie.
But even if it's just a thoughtless spook house film, it should be better than this.
It should be better,
like,
yeah.
If you're making a jump cut movie or a jump scare movie, think of creative jump scares. At the very least, think of creative jump scares.
This one doesn't even play with them. Like, it doesn't even do the trope. Like, playing with jump scares has itself become a trope. It doesn't even do that. It just does the jump scare you're expecting.
Right, and that's what, like, the Insidious, the Conjuring movies, those at least, I consider those don't have any staying power with me in terms of, like, the creepiness, but they're at least good at their jump scare shit.
It's because I think James Wan is a good director.
Yeah, exactly. And he knows, like, okay, we're just making a jump scare movie, but at least we're going to make the jump scares creative.
Yeah. I'm gonna have fun with... He's making a funhouse movie, and he's like, I'm just going to have fun with wherever the skeleton pops out.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, this, okay, fine.
Yeah. And I like The Conjuring.
That's the thing, is they're good movies. I really like those, too. There's nothing... that sticks with me about The Conjuring psychologically, but that doesn't, you know, that's a hard thing,
I mean,
to
that
do.
That can be another podcast. I think all the stuff with the basement and The Conjuring was really creepy.
Yeah, that stuff's definitely creepy.
I'm asking, like, the idea
of making a horror movie that really disturbs.
Okay, here's a good example. In The Conjuring, when Lily Taylor gets locked in the basement, and then later on when Vera Farmiga falls into the basement, like, both times I had this clenching feeling of dread, like, I do not want to be in this basement.
They're very good at that.
And this as like, you know, it's not like you said, it's not a movie that sticks with you, but like, while you're watching it, you're like, I don't want to, like, it at least has the teeth to be like, you don't want to be in where this character is right now. And I never had that in this movie. Like, I was never scared in this movie.
Right. I would say, like, my body was nervous. Because, again, when the kid's, like, walking down a flickering hallway,
bash some symbols in your face.
Yeah. Like, exactly. When, like, he's walking down the flickering green hallway, it's like, this isn't scary. But my brain knows, like, oh, okay, this is when the fucking noises will
like
happen.
We know, we're so familiar with this language that we, like, okay, we know this is building up to a jump scare.
And I really think the biggest accomplishments of horror is when they can just make something everyday scary. What I was thinking of with the I Don't Want to Be Here was the Babadook. When she's in bed and she's just looking at her room, and you can see the room, and it's just like, it's any time you've been at night looking at your room, and there's nothing creepy about it, but there's enough shapes and stuff that I was just like, oh, I don't like this. Like,
yeah.
I don't like this at all.
Yeah. Like in they do it in The Conjuring and in the first Insidious, where in The Conjuring, the little girl is just staring at a corner of the room, and there's nothing there. You can't see anything.
That part.
But
that,
she's just staring at it.
Me.
Yeah,
that,
like, that's creepy.
Me.
Like, that's effective.
It's creepy when, and James Wan is, this is what he's best at, I think. And that's the thing. There's parts in The Conjuring and in the Insidious that doesn't stick with me the way a horror movie freaks me out, but it sticks with me in a way of being like, oh, that was very effective. Like, that was really good.
Yeah.
And that part is great.
That's a really good part,
Where she's like, there's something over there and that you can't see it.
Yeah, she says she's standing by the door. And then in Insidious, when the clairvoyant is looking up in the corner of the ceiling and describing the demon to the sketch artist and you can't see anything.
Yeah, but they just get a good performance out of the actor. It's the not seeing thing. And this one, like, by the end of the movie, you clearly see what's attacking them. You see this woman, and you see her very clearly enough to be like, well, just, like, at a certain point, I was like, can you just hit her? Like, yeah, honestly, has anybody like tried not... hitting her? She seems to be a physical like, creature. That
right, like
is
they keep
like
closing doors
there.
On her and it keeps working. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, so can you just like shut the fucking door?
Like, yeah, just try a baseball bat. Just try it. And at the end, she gets stabbed. And like, what if it had nothing to do with the cross stabbing her? What if it was just like a regular, like...
Right, what if you could just like, stab her in the heart with anything?
Yeah, like anything else.
Like a normal person.
Yeah, it was... God. The... I'm trying to think of anything creative in this. I thought the umbrella opening was kind of creative.
Yeah,
but again,
seeing the ghost of the umbrella. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, it's every scare is kind of seen coming.
Like, I thought that was clever enough, but it comes right after the little girl walking over to the fence for no reason.
Right. Well, that whole scene is she's just walking around outside alone. She's by the pool in the thunder, and it was like, why are you doing this?
Right. I assumed she was going to school or something, but regardless of what she was doing, she's walking through the backyard, and then she reacts as if she's heard something and walks toward the gate.
Right.
We, as the audience, don't hear anything. We don't know why she's walking towards the gate.
Right.
Like,
and then, of course, she doesn't tell anybody. That was the kids don't... For the first half of the movie, scary shit happens to every character, and they just
don't
tell anybody else.
Like, I would... 9-year-old me, or 11, however old they were, 11, if some creepy-ass bride grabbed me by the arm and scalded my forearm, I would fucking... I would tell my mom and dad, like, every detail about that encounter. I'd be like, a fucking ghost showed up, you guys. There are ghosts. Ghosts are real.
Right. The first kid who gets scalded... is like, he literally says, it's just my imagination, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he's like, they cut to him going to bed, and he's looking at the spurn. And I'm like, it's there on your arm, kid.
Yeah, it burns
like,
you.
Why are you, why are you covering for this ghost?
Yeah, why are you keeping
like,
the ghost
safe?
What a
weird thing to do. Yeah, and then like, and then he keeps being like, I fell down. And they never really explain why the kid is... just decided to not talk about this. They don't give him much motivation. The kids are... There's not much to the kids in this. They just sort of do what they need the characters to do. I don't know. They added in the thing where her husband is dead, their father.
Yeah, and that doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah, that didn't really
matter
either.
I thought it was going to come back somehow. Like, I thought the ghost was maybe going to masquerade as the dad... When the girl is peeking out the window before they reveal that it's her doll that's outside, I thought they were going to show us her dad. Like, I thought the ghost was going to be like, I'm your dad, come outside. And that would have made way more sense than a fucking doll.
Right. And, like, that would have been, if it was done well, it could have been creepy, like in the It TV movie.
Like in It, yeah, exactly.
That stuck with me. Seeing his dad standing on the swamp, like, hi, Ben. It was just like, that's fucking creepy.
I live here now. Like, it's so fucking creepy.
I want to talk about better horror movies
now. Yeah, we should talk about different movies. Let's just do an episode about It. Both versions of It.
Why not? That TV movie fucked me up. I mean, it's fun. That TV movie is definitely, when you get older,
it's
like...
That TV movie ruined me. Like, when you watch it as an older man, it's goofy, but like, as a child, that fucking thing ruined me.
There's still parts that aren't goofy, though. Like, it's goofy because it's very 90s, but like, that scene with the father, that's still fucking creepy. Like, there's still some creepy-ass shit in that movie.
Hello, Ben. I live in there now.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. Great movie. Everybody see It.
Everybody watch the TV movie It.
Yeah, and watch the remake.
And watch the new one, It. Yeah.
I kind of want to watch the new one now. I'm like, because the new one, I think, it, we're just talking. All right. But the new one is creepy, but in like, maybe it's just because I'm older watching it. It's just like a super fun creepy for me. Like that one.
It's also a gorgeous movie.
Yeah.
Because I forget who the DP is, but he's incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great movie.
It's the same guy that shot True Detective, right?
I think so. I'm excited for the sequel.
Yeah,
because
those are,
just going back to the general theme, those are like Spook House, Fun House movies to me, at least the remakes, where it's still kind of jump scary, but they're so creative because they're working with such a creative monster.
Right.
They can make that fucking painting do weird shit, come alive,
yeah,
and like the mummy, and like they
it gets
and him
around
jumping
it.
Out of the projector is just like, whoa, yeah. Shit.
It gets
what
around.
A thing to do.
Right. Like, it does jump scares by jump scaring you and then grabbing you by the throat and holding you down, and it continues to scare you.
Right. And like, there's something to. Like, I definitely think there should usually be rules to horror movies, but with ghosts, you can really go surreal. Like, you can really bend the rules a lot.
Yeah.
Like, someone could be drinking a coffee and look down, and there could be a ghost in their coffee.
Yeah,
it's like, why the fuck not?
As a poltergeist.
Yeah.
As
it's
old
just
as
like
poltergeist.
You can,
yeah,
you
anything
can, do
can happen.
So much shit. As long as, like, yeah, well, especially with. Yeah, something like it, or like this woman who's like a demon ghost or something.
She's a ghost.
Like, why
yeah.
can't she be fucking creative? She's just asked. She's like the part where they're like, she's upstairs, and you can hear her walking
yeah,
around,
banging
and she has
around.
To go down
like, is
the
she
stairs?
The T-1000? Like,
yeah.
She's a fucking ghost.
She walks down the stairs, and it
can't
was like,
she just apparate?
Yeah, it was really weird.
Yeah.
And they had these moments. Like, this is what I... All right, this movie should have started way later in the plot, because you know what was also a creepy idea that they don't do anything good with is he traps her out of the house. And so
yeah.
she will do anything to get back in. You could have done a two-hour movie that was just that.
A ghost
they're
trying
in
to get
the
into
house.
Your house. Yep.
Yeah, and like they're like running out of food, and like they don't know what to do. Like that.
If you dropped the audience in, just into the house...
Right.
And all you know is that they can't go outside and they're paranoid about something getting in. That would be an incredible movie.
Yeah.
Because then you slowly reveal that it's a ghost trying to get in the house.
Yeah.
And it's doing everything it can to trick them into letting it inside.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been really good.
It's a good movie really right there. Like, there's like yeah. several good movies hidden in this movie.
Yeah. But that's not one of them.
No.
Man. I'm trying to just think of other good horror movies I've seen recently. Have you watched? Did you watch A Dark Song?
No.
Everybody should watch A Dark Song. It's creepy in a different way. It reminded me a little bit of this, but not really. It's about a woman who goes into a house with a shaman type guy,
mm-hmm.
And she's trying to do a ritual that I believe will bring her children back to her.
Mm-hmm.
It's something creepy like that, and it's like very satanic what she's doing, and they can't leave the house. That's part of it, and it becomes kind of like The Shining, and like gets really creepy and weird, and the guy's already weird to begin with, like kind of a creep, and it's just a real fucking creepy movie. I'm just trying to think of better movies to watch instead of going to see this movie.
Watch The Wind.
Yeah, I still haven't seen The Wind, but I guarantee it's better.
Yeah, Collider just did a screening of it. It's a Western horror movie. It's supposed to
yeah.
be pretty good. So
the trailer for it looks good. Yeah, it's available right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or watch the other Conjurings if you haven't seen them yet.
Yeah, watch the Conjurings. Like, the first Insidious is 100 times better than this movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I don't know, because the only way this ties into... They've gotten so fucking sidetracked with the Annabelle shit.
Yeah.
Because they've now decided that the scariest thing in the world
is
the
Annabelle.
Warrens. Yeah, Annabelle in the storage shed of the Warrens. Like, the new Annabelle
right,
trailer
there's,
is
right,
just...
Right, there was a trailer before this movie, Annabelle Comes Home, that brings the Warrens back. So it should technically be The Conjuring 3, but it's another Annabelle movie, and it's all about their fucking room in their house that's creepy.
Right. And it
that
creates
was,
a situation...
That was a creepy scene in The Conjuring, no doubt, but like...
Yeah. And I think if we've... Here's the thing, is when it happened in The Conjuring, it was like, okay, this is your one chance before you put a better lock on that fucking room. Because if they become the problem... Like, the Warrens in real life are kind of the problem, but in this universe where they're not scam artists.
She just died.
I know.
She died Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, this is
Lorraine Warren
weird
just
timing.
Died Friday. Yep.
But like in their fictional versions, like if they're leaving that fucking door open, that room open, and they are just
right,
causing
like
all
that,
the problems?
That should have all sorts of like runes and like arcane seals on it. Like fucking lock
Safes.
That door up.
Treat them like guns. Like your daughter's friend just fucking randomly walked in there.
Not even. Yeah. I think it's a babysitter. It's not even a friend.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
From the trailer.
I don't know. But that that's another trailer that exhausts me. The Annabelle, I don't know. I don't fucking know why they're hung up on this. And then this movie, they tie it into Annabelle.
Right. F. Murray Abraham is the priest.
Yeah.
From the Annabelle movie.
Yeah. It's like...
And he's only in the one scene.
Yeah, well, they can only get him for
the most famous guy in your movie is in the movie for 5 minutes. Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of characters who felt like they had other things to do. Like, they do the whole thing about, again, her whole job, the caseworker stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, they show office politics in it. Like,
for
she has
scene.
A rival
yeah,
caseworker.
For one scene.
Yeah, which is really fucking weird. She shows back up at in the child protective part.
Right, yeah.
Where they,
like,
but
we
that
talked
doesn't
about it,
go anywhere.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier where it's like, oh, this is interesting. Maybe this will go somewhere. And no, you don't see those characters again after that point.
And they go out of their way to show this rivalry between those two.
Yep.
And then it doesn't... Maybe there's a cutscene or something. I don't... I maybe they were trying... I think what they were trying to do, because the mother of the dead kids... sneaks into the house at one point and she tries to make the ghost kill them. Her whole deal is I'm gonna get you because you caused my kids to die, which she's pretty unforgiving about that misunderstanding, which I get it. Her children died. She's gone insane. But I don't know. They did some weird choices with her because when she's at the scene of the dead kids, she's like kind of crying for them. And then she's just like angry and it's just like, you did this. This is your fault. She got him. And it's like, okay, is she insane or is she not? Because she's like, she doesn't seem that upset about her kids. Did she like,
yeah,
she wasn't like going in, like she should have been like a screaming maniac, but she was like pretty calm. I mean, it's that sort of thing where it's like people react in different ways to different things, but she seemed like she'd gotten over her kids pretty quickly and was just on a warpath for vengeance. And then she's in the jail, like, I'm going to get you. I told her to go after you. And then the cops are like, well, we have no way to hold her, so. And, like, I don't know. It was a weird detail of the movie.
She should have been in jail longer.
Yeah, and then
because,
she threatens
like,
her.
Well, yeah, she threatens, like, she gets arrested attacking our main character. Like, she gets arrested attacking the social worker. So, like, even if they couldn't find that she murdered her kids, like, she still should be in jail for assaulting the social worker.
Right, like, and, like, blaming her, or they should at least have some sort of fucking... They should be more concerned that she just threatened her. And then, so she shows up at the end and tries to let the ghost in, and then, like, has a change of heart at the end. So I guess what I'm getting at is there was supposed to be some sort of element of forgiveness there. And like maybe that was what the rivalry, her job rivalry was supposed to be, like this other bitterness towards someone else. But it didn't like amount to anything and it didn't really make much sense. It was just a detail. It was like it felt like they needed to just fill time.
Yeah.
Like.
It just...
I don't know.
Like, there's so many things that just don't go anywhere in this movie.
Yeah.
It's... Man. Yeah. It's just very, very dull. Like, this is a boring-ass movie. This is a boring, forgettable movie that's...
What are some good horror movies this year? Like I said, Dark Song wasn't this year, but I just saw it this year. It was very good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this hasn't been a good horror year.
No, it definitely hasn't.
I mean, it's only been a few months.
Pet Sematary.
Pet Sematary was a lot of fun. I liked that. But there just hasn't been that many horror movies this year either.
We're gonna get It Chapter 2 at the end of this year.
Yeah, because I was looking at a list of like best horror movies of 2019 so far, and it was like it was a lot of movies. I was like, yeah, it was okay. And then I realized like, oh right, this is we're 4 months in.
Yeah.
This was a bummer.
This is it's just, I mean, I'm sure it's going to make enough money because it's This is the cinematic equivalent of those boardwalk haunted houses.
Yeah.
Like
Us came out this year.
Us is
that's a great one.
My wife has been sleeping with the lights on ever since we watched Us.
Yeah.
That movie terrified her to her core.
Yeah, it's creepy. yeah, it was a very I mean, that's worth it all. The fact that that movie exists this year, but I don't. Do we even have much to look forward to? Like you said, It Chapter Two.
That's a big
is
one.
Is that it?
For horror movies, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the best horror movies sneak up on us. Mm-hmm. I think. So I'm sure we'll encounter something.
We have, like we talked about on Hypecast this past week, We've Always Lived in the Castle.
Yeah. Yeah, that looks good.
There'll probably be more. This is like Carnival Barker horror.
Yeah.
It's not even particularly good.
Yeah. Because that can be Carnival
it can
Barker
be good,
horror
yeah.
can be good.
Like,
and that's
I think
the biggest problem. Like you said at the top of this. It was boring. I was kind of just sitting and waiting for it to end. It's one of those movies where it gets to the third act and it feels when they've like sort of technically resolved it.
Mm-hmm.
It was what like when when the pool scenes happens and he goes I put holy water in the pool.
Yeah, your pool is filled with holy water. Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of like, okay, that kills her, right? We can go home now. Like I was just like ready to go. So I was just hoping that was it. As anticlimactic as it, you know, as in my, I knew that wasn't it, but it was like, I just want this to be.
Yeah, over. I was very done.
Yeah.
Like there are other, like the Evil Dead remake, I think qualifies as pop horror or Carnival Barker horror, but it goes so over the top and so crazy that it's impactful and memorable. And like, I'd even say, Mama by the director of It.
Right.
Is good pop horror because it at least is memorable in a couple of ways. Like it pushes the envelope and definitely ends in some child death.
Oh yeah. Good old child death.
Some good old child death.
Yeah.
This movie is just you can make I guess the best comparison to make is Ouija Origin of Evil. Like you can throw if you put a good director, if you put a Mike Flanagan and you're like, okay, we need you to make a Ouija sequel, and he makes that movie, which is like a pretty good horror movie.
Yeah, it's like he knew like, okay, this is a sequel horror. Like,
but it's good.
Yeah, well, he gave it everything. Like, I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I'm going to make it good.
You could make these movies good. Like there's this one even has like a good concept, even if it is sort of like a bastardization of folklore. But it's just so lazy. This is such a studio movie.
Yeah.
Like this movie, it's a very safe horror movie.
Yeah, it's ridiculously safe.
It doesn't do anything interesting. It doesn't do anything unexpected. And that's like the point of horror and comedy. Like horror and comedy are both built on surprise.
Yeah.
And this movie is not surprising in any way.
No, it's not. It's like a Training Wheels horror movie.
Yeah.
It's like if you've never seen a horror movie before, you might find a lot of this.
Yeah, it's perfectly competent. Like the director is clearly a competent director. It's just boring. It's just not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not good.
It's just... I don't even want to say it's not good because it's fine. It's just in terms of it's a functional movie.
Yeah.
And it, again, if you're not big into horror, if you're just out seeing a horror movie, this might be effective for you.
Yeah, it's probably fun to go see this movie. It'll probably
buff,
be fun.
There's really nothing here for you. It's pretty fucking like if you're a person who's like never seen the Conjuring movies and never seen. Like even that, like that's not even a horror buff thing, but it's like if you're
that's pop
really new to
extreme.
Horror, this might be good. But it was.
This is a movie like I can picture boring. Like a bunch of teenagers going out on like a weekend night and having fun watching. But like, if you're like a horror snob, like me and Dave,
Not even a snob, though.
Not even a snob.
Just experienced in horror.
Right. Like just somebody who's seen a bunch of horror movies. This movie doesn't have anything for you.
No, not really.
It's very paint by numbers.
Yeah, which is, it's fine. Like I'll often put on, I tend to do like a lot of, I'll do like Japanese horror movies for this reason. It's a horror movie that you could put on in the background.
Yeah.
Like I'll do a lot of horror movies that are very cookie cutter, like the Japanese horror genre where it's a young woman with long black hair who's been scorned. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like kind of like one of those where this is a woman in a veil who's just like the nun
it's an extra layer of fun in my household because Marina looks like all of those ghosts in the dark.
Right.
So
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I mean is like, yeah, this is it's like maybe on streaming, if this was on Netflix, it's like, yeah.
This is like, this is like a fun sleepover movie, but it's not, it's so forgettable.
It's not a movie that you have to sit in a theater and pay attention to.
No.
You'll get bored.
Like I was bored. It was only 90 minutes and I was like looking around at the people next to me and shit.
Yeah. I don't check my phone in the theater, but I was like,
I was checking my phone. I was texting people while I was watching this movie. And this movie was boring.
Yeah. It was pretty boring.
I think that's it.
Yeah,
that's all we have to
say.
Like, I don't want to belabor the point any more than we already have.
No, I think we did a good job at expressing how boring this movie is. All right, let's plug stuff. Guys, we have a Patreon.
We
if you
sure
don't know already.
Do. Guys, yeah. We have a Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed and support us and know that you're allowing us to continue to create this podcast and Hypecast and also some exclusive podcasts that you only get to listen to if you are a supporter, like Fox Mulder is a Maniac. And Tom and Jeff watch Batman. And,
that's correct.
Perhaps some others that we might add this year.
Yeah. So, yeah. Fucking do that. We also have a TeePublic site, teepublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed. You can get some neat t-shirts. Some ones are coming up.
We got some piping hot merch.
Yeah. We just got like
steamy merch.
We just got like the first draft of a new t-shirt we're working on.
I'm very excited about this t-shirt.
That's going to be good. keep a lookout.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening and supporting us.
Yeah. And don't drown your kids. But if you do,
try not to drown your children.
If you're going to be a ghost, be a creative ghost.
Like if you're going to drown your kids in like a 2-inch creek, like at least be kind of a metal ghost. Like don't be a lame ghost like this.
Don't be a lame ghost.
Be metal. You owe it to your drowned children to be metal.